You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Mets. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me on Wednesdays to get in on the action. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. On today's show, I was joined by host of Locked On Phillies, Dan Wilson, for a crossover special as we previewed the Mets' upcoming series against the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll get into all of that in just a minute, but for those of you who don't know, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMorizeOnline.com. Here's my conversation with Dan Wilson, host of Locked On Phillies.
Joining us on today's Locked On Phillies, it's a special Locked On Phillies, Locked On Mets crossover edition, of course, starting this weekend. We will have a four-game series up at Citi Field for the Phils. Always exciting when the Phillies and Mets get together, and they've met a lot already this season. After this weekend, hard to believe, I believe only six times these teams will get together, once in September and once in the beginning of August. So not a lot of games left against the Mets. The Mets sit in first place in the National League East this season. They've battled injuries. They've battled for much of the season, a slumping Francisco Lindor, but both of those things seemingly coming together here a little bit right now. And this is a big series for the Phils. So of course we go to Ryan Finkelstein for the crossover. Ryan, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm excited to actually have an off day today. It was kind of nice to, as much as we love watching baseball, sometimes it's good to get a little bit of a breather, and I'm looking forward to a couple of games tomorrow.
That's exactly right. When you view, give me your take on the Mets season thus far. The National League East has not been what anyone expected it to be. They're still sitting in first place with a comfortable lead, four-game lead over now the second-place Nationals, because the Phillies found a way to lose two games to them. But they've sat with a pretty comfortable lead in a bad division. What have you made so far of the season? I'm sure you're happy they're in first place, but are you overall happy? Does it say to you, hey, this team's been doing well despite the injury bug, despite Lindor getting off to a freezing cold start? And how do you see this thing carrying into the summer throughout the course of the season?
Yeah, I think the clear thing the Mets have this year is great starting pitching. And so with that, as we've seen in the past, any team that has a great rotation has a great chance to win a division. And if you get to the playoffs healthy, a good chance to make a run. So I really like what I've seen from the top three, obviously, Jacob DeGrom, Marcus Stroman, and Taijuan Walker. I think lately there's been a little bit of concern as DeGrom has had some injuries, as Stroman had a little bit of a hip injury this week. If one of those guys were to go out, this team could crater quick. But I think the pitching is definitely legit. The hitting, there's so much potential for the Mets that has not been realized. I mean, I don't know if they're still last in the league in runs, but they've been kind of hovering there all year long. So now that Conforto's back, I've been saying this week, the excuses are gone. The injuries have let up. You have Michael Conforto back. You have Jeff McNeil back. And the offense needs to step up. They did so yesterday, scoring seven runs. We'll see if they can keep that going against the Phillies. But I think that's my biggest thing to watch for the second half here is, can this become at least middle of the pack offensive team? Otherwise, I don't know if they can really compete in a playoff series when you get to teams like the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres, who are a little bit more well-rounded.
Yeah, the Phillies scored 12 runs yesterday. It didn't matter. Usually the offense has been the struggle for this team as well. Not quite as bad as the Mets offense. You're right. It was worst in the league for a while. I believe it still is, or very close to it. The Phillies offense has been lackluster. This is coming off a year last year where they had a very good offense. Now they have, they're leaving tons of runners on base. Some games, they don't even get those opportunities there that you would like them to. And it's kind of similar to what you're saying with the Mets. I'm not saying it's been nearly as good as the Mets top three, and no one's as good as Jacob DeGrom, but you feel good, at least decent, about the top three in this Phillies rotation. Nola's been disappointing by his own standards, but usually keeps you competitively in the game, though he blew up last time and has had a couple instances where that has happened. Zach Eflin, same thing. And Zach Wheeler, the former Met, has been an ace and is going to be an all-star for this team more than likely. You know, you can't have, you're shaking your head. You can't have all of them, right?
No, I just, look, if anyone listened to my show the first year, all I talked about was extending.
You were Zach big Wheeler. On Zach Wheeler, yeah.
It was all about Zach Wheeler, and it was just, it was so clear to me following, you know, the second half of 2018, the second half of 2019, that he had figured something out. And what I love about Zach Wheeler is he just attacks hitters and he can get you deep into games. I mean, he's almost at 100 innings I saw on the season. I mean, having a guy like that, it helps your bullpen a lot. He is a legit ace right now. And yeah, it's just unfortunate because I really think the Mets should have locked him up and gone forward building around just DeGrom and Wheeler. And it was a huge mistake that the Mets let him go and let him go to their division rival. But it is what it is.
But what a 1-2 punch that would be this season, DeGrom and Wheeler. I don't just chalk up the like a 1-2 punch in a playoff series. You're just going straight down 0-2. How ridiculous would that be? But look, this has been an overall disappointing year again for the Phillies. They're now 34-37, 71 games into this thing, three games below 500. The bullpen continues to struggle. Hector Neris now can't get outs in the ninth inning, and he's blown three of his last five saves, I think it is. And the issues with this team just continue to ripple. They can't go on any type of run. They started off June hot, winning seven of the first nine games, and then they go out on the road, and you know immediately a cold stretch is coming. They lose four of six on the road trip, and they come back, lose two more against the Nats. And now that they're in a situation where they're going up to Citi Field this weekend. And as weird as it sounds, I almost don't have an issue saying it's a June series and you can't make declarative statements usually this early in the year, but it is incredibly unlikely that this team makes the playoffs if they don't find a way to win like three or four from the Mets this weekend because of the situation they're in, because I don't see this team getting a wild card spot. There's just too many good teams, especially in the NL West, but across the National League, the Brewers and Cubs are fighting out for a spot. They're separated by a half game right now. They might be in the mix for a wild card contention. The NL East looks like, I feel like I'm talking college basketball here, but it feels like a one bid division. It feels like the winner of the division gets in and that's it. And they're sitting five games below the Mets right now in fourth place, kind of in that jumble in the NL East. The Marlins have really fallen off here, but the Nationals, the Braves, and the Phillies all kind of just stuck together. They just lost two of the Nats. So now you're in a situation of like, you have to split this doubleheader and win, and you're probably not going to win with Jacob deGrom on the mound. So maybe you find a way to steal two in the doubleheader. It's just very, very concerning where this team is because they're in such a situation on the overall timeline of this thing of just trying not to get stuck and trying not to be like, all right, now we had another 500 year. This is year three of Bryce Harper. He's having back problems. We just signed 5 years of JT Realmuto. This is the prime of Zach Wheeler. Like, what is this team going to do at the trade deadline that can fix this team this season or even in a couple seasons? They have a really bad farm system. It's just the Phillies are not in a great place, and it puts so much magnitude on a series like this. Again, because let's say they split two of two, make up no ground with the Mets. Now you have six games left with them. You're just you're scoreboard watching the second half of the season and hoping you can pick up ground on them, even though this is a Phillies team that has basically proven they can't go on any type of sustainable run. And if they do, a losing streak, especially when they go on the road, is following almost immediately after.
Yeah, I think what you said there about the wild card is something that has become pretty clear to me throughout this season as well. It just does not seem like, honestly, it feels like three teams are coming out of the West. And then, like you said, maybe one of the central teams can grab one. But yeah, this is, you got to win the division to make the playoffs for these teams. And I think for the Mets, it's been frustrating the last couple series that they have let the Nationals win a series and that they've let the Braves take two. And so they haven't been capitalized against their division. And this is a chance for the Mets to do just that against the Phillies. I think one of the things that you could still see down the stretch, I know it doesn't feel like the Phillies can go on a run, but I do believe that any team in baseball can just, whatever, have everything break right. Any team could go on a two-week span and win like 12 out of 14 and be right up with the Mets in this division. So I think one of the things that the Mets have to do is not take their lead in the division for granted when they play a series like this. Yes, right now, all year, it's felt like the Mets division to lose I mean, look, we saw the Nationals in 2019 go from being a terrible team to winning a World Series. Crazier things have happened. I still have complete faith that the Mets will win this division. But you're right. These series are very important, even though we're in the middle of June, still, what, 20 games away from the All-Star break. It's important to beat your division. There will be more of my conversation with Dan Wilson in just a minute, but today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is a tobacco-free, long-cut pouch that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to, but without the tobacco. Available in 9 flavors, Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. Dip has been associated with the game of baseball for as long as I can remember. I have so many friends who started dipping on the diamond, and then that became a staple of their everyday life. Now I recommend Fully Loaded Chew to them as it tastes and feels just like traditional smokeless products, which makes it an easy transition away from those tobacco products, which are worse for your health. This is the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Mets listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. If you go to www.fullyloadedchew.com, use the promo code Locked On. That's just $1 with free shipping if you use the code Locked On at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew at fullyloadedchew.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whether it's the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, Major League Baseball, BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you could imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
It's important to beat your division, and I don't love the schedule making this year. Like, I wish these two teams were playing late in the year, but they're not. So this is the equivalent. You're after this weekend, again, you're going to have 6 games left. This would be the equivalent usually of a July or August series, assuming you have a home and home with them in September. Like, you got to win these games. And it's just so, like, you were talking about any team could go on a run, and it's not as if the Phillies haven't done that. When you actually look at their schedule, they usually do it to start the month. Beginning of April, they start 5-1, and they won 2 of 3 in that opening Mets series, won 3 from the Braves, and then they really declined. They went up to Citi Field, had a bad series, went to Atlanta, had a bad series, and they undid their entire homestand. Then they start May really hot, go on a 5-game winning streak, and then they undo that too, losing series after series after series. They start off June hot and they cool off. So great, we can keep doing this thing where they happen to start months on homestands and do really well, but the winning streak is only as good as you maintaining your initial pace of the ground you made up. Like, if you're a 500 team and then you win, last year they won 9 of 10 in one stretch after Bryce Harper declared, you know, we need to win 9 of 10 at this point. He actually tried to play that card again yesterday, so we'll see if it does. It actually worked last year. He said, we need to win 9 of 10. They did just that. But that's only as good as if you maintain your pace before that stretch. If you're going to win 7 of 9 or whatever the case is, and then you're going to just undo that on the next road trip, then you're still playing 500 baseball. This team feels like a 500 team. I've been saying it all year. They kind of just tread water. It's one step forward, 2 steps back, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. And at the end of the day, feels like an 80 to 81 win team. And I just don't know where you go from there. They say they want to make the playoffs. They're in win now mode where they're trying to make the playoffs. You have a rotation where you're trotting out Vince Velasquez every fifth day, and he's back to struggling. You're 6 of him. And the only reason he's starting is because Chase Anderson and Matt Moore were your 4 and 5 starters coming into the year. Matt Moore than Chase Anderson were your 4 and 5 starters coming into the year. And Spencer Howard can't go more than a couple of innings. Like, it's a really, really concerning long haul of a season. And the thing I've been saying over and over again is it's really hard from a fan base perspective to really buy in, or even just watching this team, covering this team, podcasting about the team, whatever you want to call it. It's hard to buy in that this team is going to go on any sort of legitimate run here at this point, because they've proven over the course of 3 months at least, which we're only halfway in, but again, halfway in is a pretty sizable sample size in baseball, that they're pretty much a 500 team. Whatever they win, they'll undo it with losses. Their defense has been atrocious, and they deserve every bit of the record that they have. And right now, I just think the Mets are the better team, and this team struggles to win games on the road. They got four in New York this weekend. It's a huge week. Like, I heard someone call it the biggest week of the Philly season so far. I don't know if that's necessarily overstating it. Like, last week they had three games in LA and three games in San Francisco. I thought that was the biggest test they had so far. They went 2-4. Now this is like the biggest test, like Nationals and Mets. They've already lost the first two, so you put even more pressure on this Mets series. And you have then a one game in Cincinnati, games against the Marlins coming up. Yesterday, the Phillies are already running into issues of a taxed bullpen because Zach Wheeler didn't give you the best start on Tuesday night. They're going to be down to their last, it's going to take every single guy on this roster to win some of these games, the series. And it almost feels like best case scenario, they win 2-4, but it's just not good enough because of the situation. They've made the bed for themselves. Now you got to lay in it and they have to try and undo all that. I just don't see the potential for that because they haven't shown it all year.
Yeah. I think one of the things that has kept the Mets atop this division is they haven't been losing series. Like, I think dating back,
Phillies do a lot of that, by the way. Yeah.
Dating back to the beginning of April, I'm pretty sure the Mets have only lost three series. I think they've won like 10 or 11 and they've split like three or four. So
a nice way to get 2 or 3, 3 or 4, or at least split, whatever the case is. You never lose ground that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've only been swept once. So that is huge. And, you know, maybe it's just treading water at points when you have some rough stretches of the season with injuries or whatever it is, but the Mets have done a great job of consistently winning. And, you know, you take it one series at a time. I think that the doubleheader is going to be really kind of these doubleheaders, especially when they start off a series, they're so important.
How many doubleheaders is this for the Mets this week? I know it's at least the second.
This is the third? The third in the past. I think they've had a doubleheader in each of the last three series.
So perfect example. An example of a team that is bullpen should be and pitching staff should be taxed as a whole. They're playing doubleheaders left and right. Like, take advantage of a team in a bad spot. It never seems like the Phillies are capable of doing that, or they don't capitalize when the iron's hot.
Yeah, well, even look at what happened yesterday with the Braves. The Braves faced Tylor Megill, who is a guy that was making his MLB debut basically because the Mets had to. I mean, he's raw. He definitely has some talent, but it's not like he's a guy that's a polished big league pitcher. The Mets got him out of there as soon as they could. And then they had Corey Oswalt, a guy who's been a 4A pitcher for the past four seasons. And they only had Edwin Diaz and Miguel Castro available in the bullpen because they had to cover eight innings with Stromo and out early. So that was a game where the Braves really should have been able to win a series and make a statement, and the Mets were able to hang on and find a way to win. So I do think that those are the games that can really swing a division, and the Mets were able to get one yesterday. And this doubleheader, you know, there's a good chance here that the Mets can win one or win both, because I think they have a pretty good setup when it comes to pitching. I don't know who the Phillies are throwing out there, but I know the Mets have Taijuan Walker and David Peterson both rested and ready to go. And for Walker, at least, you feel pretty good about that game.
Yeah, in the doubleheader, it's going to be Aaron Nola game one and Matt Moore game two. Matt Moore, the 7.36 ERA, has been out of the rotation for much of the year. He was down in the minors. He was battling time on the injured list, what have you, but he's just awful. And it's the only reason he's starting in this case is because, I mean, he's basically been delegated to the bullpen and it's going to be a bullpen game. He's not going to give you much of anything. That Taijuan Walker, Matt Moore matchup, certainly advantage of Mets. And this is another, I've been saying it all year also, and everyone's been saying it all year, it's like a big spot for Aaron Nola. Like, Aaron Nola has to come up big in this game against a guy like David Peterson. And far too often he's letting up first inning runs. And these seven inning games, I don't know what you make of these seven inning doubleheaders, but they creep up on you fast. Like, you can feel the difference. You get down a couple of runs, second, third, fourth inning, like, game's halfway over, and it totally shortens the game. It's less bullpen innings you have to get through. Like, it really changes the dynamic. I actually don't really like it. Like, people hate the runner on second. People hate the three batter minimum. I think I hate the seven inning doubleheader more than anything, just because it's the only rule that Major League Baseball changed that isn't consistent. Like, wins and doubleheaders count just the same as a normal 7:05 game. And the time literally isn't the same. Like, it would be the NBA on back-to-back saying, we're only going to run 10-minute quarters. Now you have to manage the minutes differently. If you're going to have a bad rule, at least have the bad rule for 162 games. It's the, like, people are complaining that they're checking for spider tack and substances now in the middle of the season because it's inconsistent. I would argue that having arbitrary 7-inning games just pushed into the middle of your year is inconsistent also. And for a team that has last year supposed to help the Phillies, it didn't really. If you have bullpen issues, it's two less bullpen innings you have to get through. And if you're a late inning offensive team, then you get screwed by it. Like, it feels like you're changing the game and those wins shouldn't count as much, but they do.
When you have a great starting pitcher going in one of these doubleheaders, you have such a huge advantage because you can avoid your bullpen altogether. So yeah, it's definitely a completely different game, these doubleheaders. I've grown to, I don't know if I'd say like them, but I've gotten used to them where it doesn't bother
me anymore.
They've grown
on you, yeah.
You know, and honestly, I think the Mets have fared pretty well this year, which is maybe why. I think it also really depends on how your team does in them. Because last year, I liked them a lot less.
Yeah, the Phillies haven't fared well in them. I mean, they didn't fare well in 9-inning doubleheaders. Believe me, going back to 9-inning doubleheaders is not a Phillies interested move. If anything, I should be pushing for like 5 innings or something. But
investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They can create a portfolio of globally diversified low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Can grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings today. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, with so many amazing flavors to choose from, including my personal favorite, the cookies and cream bar. These really are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bars come low in calories, low in sugar, but they are high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yeah. Saturday's game, which will be back to 9 innings. Zach Eflin versus Jacob DeGrom. Is Jacob DeGrom the greatest pitcher who ever lived? Guy's got a 0.5 ERA, yeah. 0.51 whip. Guy's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying, you know, I'm just getting into the new MLB The Show, and I think I have a 3 ERA with DeGrom. It's a video game.
That's a really down year. Yeah.
I can't possibly, like, the guy is just ridiculous. I think we'll see how many pitches he goes. Last time out, it was 70 pitches. I got to imagine they're still not going to just let him go to 100. So, you know, you maybe have to work some counts if you're the Phillies and try to get him out after 5 or 6 innings. But yeah, he's unhittable. I mean, it's ridiculous. I think it's 30 innings in a row now, his scoreless streak. Yeah, the guy's just insane. So,
Francisco Lindor, overall, you know, we're not even half a season into this thing. And look, he's been, I would say, overall disappointing. I know he's hit a little bit, or at least by his own standards at the beginning of the season, more recently, at least I believe. What have you made of his year so far, and just where do you see this thing going throughout the course of the season? Is this a case where, you know, you were expressing concern about the Mets in a potential playoff series? He is, I would imagine, a guy that you think would need to step it up to get to the next level.
Yeah, I did this, I can't remember, a couple of weeks ago. If you toss that as April, things look a lot better for Francisco Lindor. He was just...
Which is why I tried to say, you know, things have been better recently.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, since May, I think he's been getting closer to his kind of career averages. I don't know if he's quite there yet. We've seen him start to hit some home runs. I think he has 3 this week. He had a 2-home run game, and he hit another one yesterday. So he's starting to turn it around. I think Michael Conforto is really the big, big difference maker now. He came back, and it's just, sometimes you forget how good these guys are. You've been watching Billy McKinney for a month and thinking, hey, he's not that bad. He had a home run every now and then. And then Conforto steps in first at bat, rips a double. And you're just like, okay,
and
that
you're like,
looks
oh,
different.
That's nice to have back.
Yeah.
It has to make you feel good, though, that the Mets have probably been the most injured team, one of the most injured teams in baseball and certainly in the division. And they're still leading this thing. Like, if they can do it without those guys, certainly you would think they could do it with them.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was when I was on Locker Room or on a podcast yesterday. Someone mentioned if Jonathan Villar got hurt right now for the rest of the season, he's already performed up to his contract. He got paid for $3.5 million. He carried you through a stretch where you had all these guys banged up. And now, I mean, look, if they get nothing out of him, it was a worthwhile investment. So there's a lot of those guys. Jose Peraza gave them that's a lot. Brandon Drury was bad, but hit a couple of clutch home runs. I mean, they've had a lot of guys step in. And I think that's generally the fabric of a team that ends up going on one of these runs. You know, I always kind of talk about the championship DVD, you know, who are the guys that are going to be mentioned, you're going to forget about. And I think the Mets have had a lot of those guys this year. And I think if they're actually going to make a run, you don't want to see a lot of those guys in the second half.
How do you see this series? We'll get to the kind of prediction segment here. As we mentioned, doubleheader Friday, got DeGrom on Saturday. I believe it's Stroman on Sunday.
I think they're going to go with Jared Eichhoff.
I did see that. They did put that. For whatever reason, I think MLB.com still had it, but you're right. The Phillies broadcast, because they're making, that's former Philly Jared Eichhoff, point that he's going to go on Sunday. So how do you, what's your expectation for the Mets this weekend? I'm sure the Mets would be happy. I mean, 2 of 2 is treading water. Based upon how the Phillies have struggled this year, I'm sure the Mets will be out for blood, could very easily get 3 of 4. Phillies in desperate need of 3 of 4. Feels like a split to me, quite honestly. I don't know what you're thinking here.
I think it all kind of hinges on what happens tomorrow. You know, if either of these teams sweeps the doubleheader, I think they'll win the series. If it's a split, I have a feeling it'll probably be a split series as well. Jared Eichhoff did well his first time out. I don't have a ton of confidence in him doing that 2 times.
I was going to say, I feel a split in the doubleheader. Saturday game goes to DeGrom. Sunday game, I think the Phillies get Eichhoff 2 of 2. No one really makes up any ground. That's how this thing goes.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But hell, the Mets have been a great home team all year. So it would not surprise me if they found a way to either win both games of the doubleheader or shock us all on Sunday with Eichhoff, maybe giving you 5 innings and getting through the lineup twice and getting out of there.
I'll get you out of here on this. I know you've mentioned a number of things that have gone well for the Mets this season. Concerns you have, if you had to label one big concern, like the Mets will win the division if the Mets will not win the division if this continues, how would you finish those sentences?
I would say the Mets will win the division if their top three of Taijuan Walker, Marcus Stroman, and Jacob deGrom stays healthy. And then I guess the other thing I would say is, and it doesn't necessarily go along with your question, but I think they're going to be one of the most interesting teams at the deadline, because the Mets are their season right now. Carlos Carrasco is the biggest question mark. Are they going to get him back? If they don't, will they add a pitcher? Will they add a bat, because this lineup hasn't been great? I think they're going to be really interesting at the deadline. Also, before we go, I would be remiss not to mention, how are those Sixers? How are you guys feeling about that?
So wait, I forget. Who are you for NBA? Are you Knicks? Are you Nets? Like,
see, now a lot of my listeners probably have a lot of sympathy for you being eliminated by, you know, Trae Young as Knicks fans. But, you know, I'm in South Florida, so I'm a
are
huge
you a Heat
fan. Yep. Okay. Yep. So as much as I,
well,
like
you got
Hawks,
bounced in the first round too. So,
I mean,
you know,
to maybe the eventual champions, although then again, they lost to the Hawks as well.
Well, the Sixers maybe, the Hawks are up 1-0. Sixers might have lost to the eventual champions.
I would be so shocked if the Hawks somehow make it to the finals, but you know what?
It was embarrassing, quite frankly. They had an 18-point lead in game 4, a 26-point lead in game 5. They were up 2-1 in the series, had no business losing the Hawks. You actually force a game 7 after all that. Trae Young shoots 5 for 23 in games. I was at game 7, by the way. Trae Young shoots 5 for 23. And they get burned by Kevin Huerter. And because Tobias Harris shoots 8 for 24, came up small in the series overall. Look, I you know, what more can be said about Ben Simmons at this point? But he's getting killed in Philly. Philly, New York alike does not have patience for that kind of thing. He needs to get out for his own mental sanity. for Philadelphia sports right now, it's not just that they're losing games. It's the way they're finding ways to lose games. And it's probably way too much basketball talk for the Locked On Phillies, Locked On Mets crossover. But I got a lot to say about this, clearly.
I enjoyed it. I really did. I mean, there was a moment in time when the Eagles win a Super Bowl. The process is complete with the Sixers and the Phillies sign Bryce Harper, where there was some
Philadelphia sports look great. Like, what do you like? Yeah, the Eagles were a year removed from winning the Super Bowl when they signed Bryce. They lost in the Saints. They lost to the Saints in the playoffs in the divisional round that year. But yeah, like the Eagles win their first Super Bowl title ever. The process is looking upwards, and they lost to the Celtics in the playoffs that year. By the way, Ben Simmons got exposed as a bad offensive player in that series too. Brad Stevens just brings all the defense back, knows he won't shoot. The free throw shooting wasn't even as bad back then as it was in these playoffs. It's been the same issue every time. I'm not one of these people who says, oh, Ben Simmons needs to shoot or it'll be good. Like I appreciate the other things he does, but you saw the dunk he passed up in game 7. The guy is unwilling to be aggressive at all. It's because he can't shoot free throws and he won't shoot free throws. It's all tied together. He won't be aggressive because he can't shoot free throws, and he's bad at shooting free throws because he refuses to work on it. And if he would just work on that and work on being aggressive, all the problems would be solved. We've seen this for years. Philadelphians are sick of hearing the excuses. I think a divorce is what's best, because I just do not foresee an instance where the Sixers win an NBA championship with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid together. By the way, Embiid's sick of it too. After game 7, they asked him what the turning point was, and he didn't mention Ben by name, but he was like, we passed up a dunk and only got one free throw out of it. Yeah. Like, he's got to be tired of it too. And the guy's a ticking time bomb with his help. Like, you got to capitalize now. It's infuriating, and good thing we have 500 Phillies baseball to carry us through the summer here now.
I'm glad I brought it up.
Yeah. So tell me how you really feel, right? Ryan Finkelstein, glad we can do this. Again, hopefully, from my perspective, the Phillies find a way to win 3 of 4. It's probably a lofty goal. They leave themselves no choice based upon where this team is playing right now. Again, 3 games below .500, only 6 games with the Mets, the first place Mets, and a team that leads them. But even if they swept the Mets this weekend, the Mets would still be, well, they would be tied for first place at the worst if the Nationals won a couple of games here this weekend too. But the Phillies would not even catch them sweeping 4. Like, things are bad. It's June. It needs to turn around. We've been saying it all year. Eventually, it's just got to happen, or we're looking at another 500 team. That's what it feels like to me. But Ryan, thank you so much for joining us here today. Hope we can do it again soon. Again, these teams don't meet up again until August, but always fun when the Phillies and Mets get together.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. And follow the show at Locked On Mets. Over the weekend, we're going to be asking you for some questions for Monday's show, a Mailbag Monday. So make sure you look out for that tweet on Sunday. Or if you want to just send in a question now, just at Locked On Mets on Twitter, hashtag Mailbag Monday, and I will get to those questions on our next show. Also, if you want to get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes, check out the Locked On Today podcast. Hosted by Peter Bukowski, Locked On Today updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.